that was one of the things that really struck me in your talk that you gave, how women, and specifically like wise women or witches, had been associated with demons throughout history. That was purposeful. And I think I found it really interesting because there are some witchcraft traditions that will claim like the devil or Satan as part of their like history that goes back. You know what I mean? Like, this, right?
They are confused. You know, this is a Christian construct. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Satan, the devil, this all comes out of Christian scriptures. And if you go back further, I mean, Satan actually comes out of the Hebrew scriptures and it means the adversary. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's really all superimposed.
Right.
And so with the book, what the book specifically, this particular volume is really trying to look at what the authentic cultural heritages of European women are before Christianity. And the period I'm dealing with, it's looking at a period between 700 and 1100, because that is sort of a break point where you still have pagan culture active, mm-hmm. still the people, the various ethnic cultures are saturated in the old religions, mm-hmm. not one, but plural. But Christianization is proceeding, and it's being really imposed from above, mostly.
Right.
And so that's where the process of demonization that I was talking about in the presentation you saw,
yeah,
is coming from. Because the church are saying, the clergymen are saying, the priesthood, these goddesses that they worship are really the devil.
Right.
You know, and so when women lay an offering table with plates and three knives for the fates, who the descendants of antiquity call the three sisters, don't you know that you're really making offerings to the devil? So this is the bishop in Germany talking to his people.
Right.
And that is showing us that in that society, these ceremonies are going on 1,000 years ago.
Right.
They're still talking to the three sisters of fate.
That's awesome.
And, you know, there's a lot of evidence, but up till now, it's been scattered here, there, and everywhere, mostly in Latin or in Old High German or in Old Norse language. And so my attempt is to pull together all these ripped shreds and strands and try to tie them back together and to see what they had in common between, say, you know, northern France with the Netherlands and with Denmark and with Iceland and with Ireland, and, you know, just connecting up the cultural practices, the spiritual observances that were in all these places, and show what they had in common, and especially around women as spiritual leaders, mm-hmm. as seers and wise women and diviners and oracles, or as healers and herbalists and midwives, and then what that has to do in turn with the goddess veneration.
Right.
And all the layers of that goddess veneration.
Right, definitely. I'm particularly interested in when there are similarities across cultures. I'm a sociologist. So when there are similarities across cultures, those similarities oftentimes are like that human truth. So being able to see, yes, that there's a history of, exactly, women as witches, and then like, what are those similarities? Because that is our, you know, our heritage as the witches coming up and into power now.
Yeah, and we need to know about that. We're not going to do things the same way, but it helps us to have ground to stand on. Mm-hmm. It helps us even learning about some of the ways they did ceremony and the kinds of offerings they made, or the fact that they used herbs to smudge, things like that, also are pointers to us, because we're basically trying to reconstruct something that was destroyed.
Right, exactly.
And we really need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, I definitely agree. It was, as I watched your presentation, I was filled with this like great reverence for you and the work that you do. I have no patience for like documenting history. So I am deeply indebted to this, because it is so necessary and needed when learning these old traditions, or even just finding out who you are in this society, to know that people like you, that people who understand this type of understanding that we have existed before, and that they've been specifically suppressed throughout history, which is, I suppose, the name of why you called it the Suppressed Histories Archive. Another interesting thing that you mentioned, and I want to kind of bring that up, was that the church, as it was oppressing specific traditions, was only using the Latin, and so would not refer to the goddess's name at the time, but would use a Latin goddess name to mean all the goddesses. Was that, did I catch that
right? Yeah, that's something historians call interpretatio Romana. They insist on using a Roman worldview, which even Christianity as we know it is funneled through that Roman worldview in so many ways. I mean, it's not what Yeshua of Nazareth taught. It is what the Roman clergy made up, their canon law, their doctrines.
Right. Okay?
And so when they're dealing, it's very ideological. When they're dealing with these pagan traditions, first they're calling it devil worship, but also sometimes if they're really being forced to talk about goddesses because goddess veneration is what's going on, then they consider it a bad thing to use the actual names of the common people. And so the Roman interpretation insists that they have to give them Roman names. So they say Minerva or Diana instead of Hola or whatever the local name is. And a lot of times we don't know anymore what the local name is because they're always putting this Latin boilerplate over everything.
Yeah.
But a few places.
Yeah.
They let it slip through. And one of the areas where that happens is this bishop in Germany, Bertrand of Worm, that I was telling you about. He uses Diana, and he also uses this biblical character in the Christian Bible, Herodias. And there's a whole story about how Herodias dances for the head of John the Baptist, her enemy. Her mother gets her to do this. They're both named Herodias, but she's also called Salome. And so this gets kind of, again, biblical authority is really important to these guys. It's got to be either Roman or biblical. And so they're using these two names, Diana and Herodias, and the women who go by night with the goddess. There's this whole mythology. And so the clergy are all scribbling this down, and they're pitching it to us in a particular way. The women who go by night with either Diana or Herodias, but in one place, Bertrand of Worm says, or the witch Hulda. The stupidity of antiquity called the witch Hulda. So that links us up because the folklorists and the historians of Germanic culture are very familiar with a figure who is variously called Hola, Frau Holt, Hulda, Hola. All these names mean the beneficial one, the beneficent one. She is the kind one. She is the, you know, and basically she's an earth and a nature goddess.
Okay.
You know, I started to say earth, but she also has the skies. She has the lakes. And so women are witches are riding through the skies on the backs of animals, which is a really shamanic theme, and in the company of the goddess and innumerable spirits. And in a lot of the stories, it's the ancestors. So, you know, there's all these interesting tie-ins. And so that one line from this penitential book by Burchard gives us a connection, and we see, wow, there really is a through line between this text from about 1015 of our era. Connects up with things that were still being written about by the Grimm brothers in the 1800s, the early 1800s. All the folklorists in different parts. And if it's not Hola, then in southern Germanic cultures, it's Perchta. And there's these goddesses who are all an old goddess, a nature goddess, who is specifically a spinner, connected with rituals of spinning and women's ceremonies around spinning and weaving. And who is, babies are born coming out of Frau Hola's pond. And so there's this vast multitude of folk traditions and often folk ceremonies that are linked up with this goddess. And so this tells us something really important, because this is not something that this clergyman just made up. It is something that really connects with living traditions in the cultures which the common people never let go of.
Right.
You know, and so that's really important, because up till now there's been this kind of headbutting. Here's the academics saying there were no pagans, there were no goddesses. There was, you know, Europe was Christianized with the conversion of the kings in, you know, and there you could name any number of centuries, the 6th century, the 8th century, whatever, depending on the country you're in.
Right.
Then on the other side, you have the neo-pagans saying there were heathen customs, there were goddesses, there were these ceremonies. But a lot of the discussion, and the reason I delved so deep into this arcane material, is because it's so theoretical. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is theoretical. Yes, there was. No, there wasn't. You know, and so I felt like what needed to be done was to really authenticate what I intuited and also things that I had found, and kind of weave it all together and show how rich this web of culture was and how it had common themes running through it in these different European cultures.